This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
Welcome to the Counter Narrative Podcast, a show designed to change the way we talk and think about education. By sharing stories of successes and triumphs, we aim to challenge the dominant narrative that often negatively portrays our disenfranchised populations. I'm your host, Charles Williams, an urban educator for more than 15 years, a current school principal in Chicago, an educational consultant, an equity advocate, and the co-host of Inside the Principal's Office. Let's get started. So welcome back. This is the second part of this three-part series for the month of May. As we begin to wrap up for the year, as we begin to get ready for the summer. And so I'm really looking forward to continuing this. And I am going to go with the title of saying yes to less, right? A little rhyming piece there, but I like how that sounds. So we're going to say yes to less. And what we're going to be focusing on for this episode is this idea of setting boundaries, embracing a great word. In fact, I was listening to the radio the other day, and, you know, it was talking about Bell's Two-Hearted Ale, and they said one of the best words in the English language, and they said nope. That is a great word, and that's what we're going to be talking about today as I reflect on this idea of setting boundaries, embracing that word, no, right? And so I think it's important, one, that we know how to set those clear boundaries, but more importantly, how being able to say no is actually crucial in defending those boundaries. So I don't know about you, but I know that over these last 20 years, that word has come up a lot, boundaries. In fact, I remember having multiple conversations, arguments, with my wife about that specific word, right? These boundaries. And I remember she would all the time tell me about the need to set boundaries at work. And I defended myself saying, I am. But as time has gone on, I've really understood what she meant by this, right? Because we hear the word boundaries, we know about them, but I don't think we really stop and consider what a boundary really looks like, right? Especially in education, where that line between our personal and our professional time oftentimes gets blurred, if it even exists at all. So I've heard a few different definitions, but in short, it's about understanding and respecting our own limits, right? When we think about that term boundaries, we are simply understanding and respecting our own limits. And I know often in conversations, like as I was just mentioning, it could be about time, right? That personal and professional time, but it's not just about time, right? It's about energy. It's about peace of mind. It's about multiple aspects of who you are and what you can offer others around you, right? And so, for example, one of my boundaries was limiting my access to staff and to others once I left my building. Now, I used to pride myself. I was the first one in, last one out, right? I would pride myself on the fact that I was able to be contacted at any moment of the day, even if literally that meant middle of the night when I was sleeping, if my phone went off, right? I felt that was the definition of a truly great and impactful leader, right? But the reality was, when I left, that should have been my time with my family, my time with myself in order to recharge and get ready for the next day. That's what it should have been, right? So for me, it was starting to communicate, I'm not available after a certain time. And the way I think what's important is we can do that, right? We can easily set boundaries. We can say it, we can put it out in the world. But the real challenge is actually maintaining that. And oftentimes it's by saying no. And so for me, saying I'm not going to have that contact meant, you know, leaving my computer at home so I don't have access to my emails, right? For me, it was recognizing that outside of maybe my immediate supervisor, I'm not going to answer the phone, you know, in the evenings. And I remember walking out of the building empty-handed, right? My device was in my office, my bag was in my office. And for me, setting the boundary was that Monday through Thursday, that all of that stuff stayed at the office. And I'll be honest, I'm still working on the weekend piece. I've gotten to a point where sometimes I'll bring it home and then it just sits in my car. I don't even bring it into my home. So it's still part of that boundary that I'm working to maintain. But there are moments of truth, right? When I was walking out of the building and I was questioned and asked, why am I not bringing my stuff home? I could have stopped and said, you know what, you're right. Let me go grab it. You know, my whatever it might have been. But I said, no, right? This is my boundary. This is where I'm going to set that limitation, right? And it was interesting, right? When I paused and I said no, right? When that phone call, you know, rings. In fact, I've set it to where at a certain time, outside of identified contacts in my phone, meaning my daughters or my wife, and my brother, he's also part of that. So Christian, if you're listening, you've made the cut. But my phone will not ring. Like, and I knew that I had to maintain that boundary and set that up because I may have been tempted, right, to answer the call. But after a certain point, my phone won't even allow me to do so. And I'll be honest, in the beginning, I was worried, I was afraid, I was nervous about what would happen if I took these steps, right? Because we exist in a field where everything seems so urgent. And I just had to say what was more important. I had to make a determination, a decision about what was more important. And, you know, the interesting piece was the school didn't burn down, literally or figuratively. The world didn't end. I'm still employed, right? I still am communicated to me that I do a phenomenal job of leading my space. And I was able to do all of those things, right, while still protecting that personal time, while still respecting the boundary that I had set forth. Right? And so I share this with you because for me, these experiences have been turning points, right? And it's a reminder for me and what I want to share with you that boundaries that we set in reality are only as strong as our commitment to enforce them, right? Saying no in time with practice, it will eventually become easier, right? Especially when you recognize you're not just rejecting a request or someone or something or whatever it might be, whatever you're saying no to, you're not just saying no to that thing, but more importantly, you're affirming your own needs, right? You're identifying, defining, establishing, and protecting your own limitations. And so if you're struggling with saying no to someone else, if nothing else, think about that piece, right? Because it's not being selfish, it's that self-care. So as I begin to wrap up here, I want to leave you with four steps, right? Because maybe you're like me and you're like, hey, I know that boundary. Maybe I've communicated that boundary, but I really don't know what to do. So here's four, right? So first things first, start to recognize your limits, right? Know what you can and you cannot handle. And that's in multiple aspects, whether it's time, energy, your emotional bandwidth, whatever it might be, recognize that and know that there is nothing wrong with saying I have my limits, because we all have our limits. Even though it may appear, that is not the case, that there are some people with boundless, we all have our limits, right? So first things first, identify those limits. Number two is communicate clearly. And what I mean by this is that it's important for you not only to know your own limits, but that you can communicate, being direct and honest about those boundaries with others, right? I recognize that, again, as I said at the beginning, we have these perceptions about what that means, right? Are we weak? Are we ineffective? Are we not worthy of being in the positions that we're in because we have these boundaries? And absolutely not. I'm telling you that you have your boundaries, and so you must be direct and honest. Oftentimes, and I talk about this sugar-free speaking piece, oftentimes we tend to sugarcoat. We try to make sure that our messages are so appealing to others that they get lost, right? And then we look up and we try to figure out, well, how come people aren't doing what we're asking? People aren't respecting that space because we did not communicate that clearly, okay? So one, identify those limits. Two, communicate clearly. And then number three is being consistent. Once you set that boundary, once you communicate that, stand firm and stay consistent no matter what the space that you're in, because eventually that will become an expectation for those around you. This isn't what you are about. This is not who you are. This is not something that you're going to do, right? I'm sure, and maybe, I don't know, because that block is still on my phone, but I've also communicated this. So I'm guessing that maybe I could take that block off, because people know, hey, listen, if you try to contact him after a certain point, he is not going to respond to you. And it doesn't mean that he's being rude. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It's simply saying that is one of his boundaries, right? And once that is communicated, once that is consistent, people will begin to respect that even more, right? And I think number four, the most important, right? So we can identify our limits. We're going to communicate those things clearly. We're going to be consistent. And I think number four is probably the most important out of all of these, is don't feel guilty. Don't be apologetic for knowing your limits, communicating those, and setting firm in that, right? Because the reality is that when you do these things, when you say no to this, it allows you to say yes to what's truly important, and that is to yourself. And maybe that is about spending time with these loved ones, whatever it might be, right? It's saying yes to your most important asset, like we've talked about before, and that's saying yes to yourself, okay? So I'm going to just say those one more time before we close out here. Identify those limits, communicate them clearly, be consistent while you are establishing them, and then last but not least, do not feel guilty for doing so. Okay? So as I close out, I'm going to challenge you. I want you to think about a boundary that you can set this week, right? Well, what is one aspect of your life, or what is a no, right, that you can start saying, that you can start using to protect that boundary? And remember, it's not about being negative, right? It's about respecting yourself, you're respecting your needs. So that's my challenge to you. And if you're listening to this, if we're connected on social medias or whatever other spaces, I would love for you to share that boundary. I would love for you, how you are going to say no. What is that thing that you're going to have in your pocket ready to go, so that way you can communicate that thing clearly and remain consistent in doing so. All right. I'm going to close out. I just want to say, you know, thanks for listening to part two. Part three is going to be coming up next. And as we close that out, it's really addressing a piece that I addressed in here that I referenced, I should say, or alluded to, is that idea of FOMO, right? That fear of missing out, and just why maybe, right, being present in fewer spaces might be much more rewarding than being spread way too thin, right? But that's a conversation for the next one. So, listeners, as always, until next time. I want to thank you for listening to the Counter Narrative Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, share it with friends and family. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show, so please leave a comment or two as well. Now, I'm not sure what platform you're using, but the show can be found on Anchor, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and plenty of other platforms. If the show isn't on your preferred site, let me know, and I'll be sure to get it up and running. This podcast is also featured on schoolrubric.com, where you can find educational articles, videos, and interviews with educators from around the globe. Be sure to connect with me and other listeners by following the show on Twitter at the CN Podcast and joining the show's Facebook group. Take care.